This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Flood warning still in effect for Los Angeles County and big chunks of Southern California, reeling from heavy rains and high winds on Monday night. The threat of mudslides. Looking at some of the video of it, you just gasp that so many of us have experienced the phenomenon of flooding, and in an instant how your life can change. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, there's good news for Georgia Bulldog fans as they have an easy time with TCU, and they are national champions. Woohoo! Congratulations to them, for sure. What's going on in the Hill? We'll talk about that. Are you worried about national debt? Maybe you should be. I'll tell you why coming up this hour as well. But let's stick with the weather first. Mother Nature can be nasty, can't she? And it is nasty, nasty going in parts of Southern California now. Los Angeles, Malibu, Hollywood, Beverly Hills, they're experiencing flash flooding because of the heavy rain. And their images that we're seeing are partially submerged cars near downtown, and the fact is that you had that heavy rain that falls in a single hour where you get inches and inches and inches, and that's what it leads to. There was even a ground stop for Los Angeles International Airport after 8 o'clock on Monday, which really slowed takeoffs and landings for more than an hour because they also had high winds. So you had problems in Northern California. Now you have them in Southern California, especially Santa Barbara County, which is right after you hit what I call Southern California proper, right? So you had thousands of people that had to evacuate Montecito. It's 5 years to the day that they had mud and boulders that rushed through neighborhoods in a community that killed 23 people and turned it into a complete disaster area. But with up to a foot of rain that's drenching the hillsides on Monday alone and still more of it coming down on Tuesday, well, we know what happens, how the ground soaks it up, and it leads to those major, major, major problems. You know, doing this, doing talk, I used to say this when I first started and I was in TV. I used to say, it's good to kind of understand the weather. Well, it's always good to understand the weather now because you look at these maps, and I was looking at a National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration map because I wanted to see what their map looked like. So I was pulling up those maps. Someone was sending me something to try to interpret some of it. It's pretty easy. Because you just see, it just looks like it's soaked. It looks like the map is soaked. It's deep purple, right? And some of that is melted snow and ice as you get deeper in past, like, Reno, where Jeremy Renner had his accident with the snowplow because they had an avalanche of snow. And he was out in a snowcat, and then what happened from there was terrible, but he's doing a lot better. But that area just deluged with snow. And then you have all the coastal area that's getting hammered by the massive amounts of rain. And you hear these stories of in San Luis Obispo County, which is north of Santa Barbara. One person was killed by floodwater trying to navigate a submerged road. A five-year-old boy was missing. Same thing. Couldn't get to him. And lots of power lines being pulled down. Just massive, massive devastation. And, you know, it's very strange once the rain stops because it's just coming at them so fast, so fast. And many of you can relate to this. Then you really see the damage because you see all the trees that have fallen. You see what's happened to some of the houses. You see where the ground is precariously so soaked, and you see trees that are leaning and look like they could still fall over. And they call this in this case, a series of atmospheric rivers. And that's what's drenched the northern part of the state and then hit the central coast the rest of the day and even Southern California, which wasn't supposed to get quite as much of the rainy stuff. So first Santa Cruz, south of San Francisco, where you had 30,000 people that had to be evacuated because they had creeks and rivers that overflowed and hit homes and washed away a bridge, and highways were terrible. And then it just kind of rolled down the map is what happened. And it eventually hit some of these other areas. And just incredible to see how quickly that can happen. There's a school called Cal Poly. It's in San Luis Obispo, and I used to live pretty close to it. I would run. They had a track, and I would run around that track when I was off work, right? Which is neither here nor there, but it's completely underwater, just completely. So the university just had students and faculty and animals all had to be evacuated because they have a lot of ag facilities there because they had a reservoir that was about to breach. So, of course, emergency declaration, 17 counties in California, you know, the whole FEMA thing is underway. And, boy, it seems like one area of the country gets hammered and everybody else gets a break. And then all of a sudden you're not expecting it. And then, boom, the other coast gets hammered and this is the world we live in. I think I call it the world of the go bag. That's not optional anymore. You have to have some preparedness because you just don't know what you may encounter. And, you know, I made the comment about knowing the weather, which was something I hardly ever paid attention to. Even being in the business, I mean, just, you know, oh, it's going to be sunny today, or I knew the basics. But now it's they call it weather porn. The people get just zoned into it because they're jumping on even the Weather Channel to see what's happening to try to gauge whether they're safe to stay or go or what happens. But they evacuated some people and other people. They told them it's too late. You just got to shelter in place. So, boy, I feel for all of our listeners in California. I certainly know, as do many others who are listening to this show in other parts of the country, like our friends in New Orleans and along the Florida coastline and along the East Coast, and then people in the Midwest that have been hammered by some of this really horrific snow. We get it. So now Kevin McCarthy is the guy. He is the Speaker of the House. And what does it mean? Well, one thing that he conceded to, we've talked about it, it's pretty cut and dried, that it's easier to remove the Speaker of the House. So it's ironic, he gets the job he really wanted, but now it's easy to remove Kevin McCarthy. So it just takes somebody screaming out, basically, let's have a vote. And it could be a Democrat, too. And am I anticipating that's happening? No, but it's an easier ouster for the Speaker than it had been historically in the past. Because you got to go back in your mind and think about it. The threat to Speaker John Boehner and trying to get him out at one point. So then the rules changed that it couldn't just be a single member. Now it's reverting back to, yep, one single member can call for that vote, and that could be it for the man with the gavel. But that's not all that's happening. Are you worried about the national debts? Maybe you should be. We're talking about it next.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Ends. 76% of voters, that means maybe you and me, are worried about the national debt. I was looking at this Rasmussen poll, and about 50% of voters didn't approve of the $1.7 trillion spending bill passed by Congress last month. They say it's a disaster, and the 76% of voters who are worried about the size of the national debt say, look, it's $31 trillion. $31 trillion. How do you pay back $31 trillion? 21%, by the way, that were polled weren't concerned at all. 53% were very concerned. So one of the questions and how they asked it is they were asked if they agreed with the former president who said the omnibus bill is a disaster for our country. 61% agreed. 45% strongly agreed, 32% disagreed. So, of course, politics is going to play a role in when you talk about national debt. But I think if you ask anybody, right, if you ask anybody about the national debt, you say, hey, you know, the national debt is $31 trillion, and who owns part of our debt? Oh, that would be China. So I think there's a lot that Americans don't realize about the debt. I mean, just wrap your mind for a second. Let that sink in about the $31 trillion. I really think, for me, when I realized, wow, this thing just keeps climbing. I get debt, I get loans, I get all of that. But when I actually physically saw the debt clock in New York City, and just looked at that rolling number, it really just stuck with me that what are we doing with this debt? What are we doing for the future? What are we doing for the future generations? What does that mean? And what does that mean to programs that we've paid into, right? So the Congressional Budget Office is estimating even that the first House bill which would rescind the provisions of that past Inflation Reduction Act, which would fund the 87,000 new IRS employees, is going to end up adding $114 billion to the deficit over the next 10 years. And that's probably why the House said no to that. That's one of the reasons why. The legislation would cut the $71 billion to hire new workers for the IRS, according to the CBO, but it would add $114 billion to the deficit between 2023 and 32 due to lost revenue gains. And that's the key word that stuck out to me, lost revenue gains. At what point are we just paddling, and we're getting nowhere close to land? I mean, in my mind, that's what it's like. It's like we're out on one of these paddle boards and someone says, well, it's so easy. I mean, look, you just pass it down, you know, a couple of years down the road, and don't worry, because that'll give us a chance to paddle and catch up to it. But, you know, we're with our guide and we're paddling, and don't worry, you're going to catch up. And then you just don't. You're just fatigued. You don't catch up. And that's what it is. I was looking for the word, to me. When we talk about politics and we talk about both chambers of the House, I think we're fatigued with it all. How does it affect us? I always say this show's about how does it affect you in your backyard and how does it affect me? And one of the things that I think has happened for a long while now, I don't know that it was always this way, but how many of the people that represent us don't really have any idea what's really happening in our neighborhoods, right? Because they're removed from it. And even when they go back home to wherever home is and they're not in Washington, are they really seeing what's happening with the everyday man or woman or family? What are the opportunities and what are the things that are crushing us? And eventually, what happens with all that debt? Where does it get pushed off to? When is too much too much and we can't catch up? So think about that. We're going to talk more about the debt in the next couple of weeks and have more people on and dive a little bit deeper into the whole idea of what does that really, really mean? What does that really, really look like? Some more odds and ends I think that you might have missed is, how about in Des Moines, Iowa? They had to cancel classes because of a cyber attack. You know, we're always talking about, oh, cyber attack, be aware. How many things do you pay for to protect yourself from being hacked into? But especially with big organizations. So their technology network just, boom, was crushed. 33,000 students, they had to cancel it because they said that the network, the internet, all that was offline because they had to assess the situation. They didn't really give a lot of information on the nature of the attack or if information was stolen. But because that technology supports classroom learning and then the management and operation of the school districts, they don't have it. So they had to close the district for the day. So, you know, I'm surprised that hasn't happened more. We've certainly seen this happen in business, and scarily, we've seen it happen at some big companies that affect us. And as we, it's that yin and yang of technology. As we rely on technology, it's that age-old question that, you know, it's like, why do we need people? When you talk about robots or you talk about going through toll booths and there's no one there. And part of the reason is because technology fails us. And what happens when technology fails you? Is there a backup plan? Yeah, the backup plan is you have to close for the day. Sorry, the bank's not open. The technology went down. I actually saw that somewhere. The technology is down, so we can't open today. Or we have to close for an extra hour or two. Speaking of closing, thousands of nurses want to close a different deal. They went on strike Monday at two of New York City's major hospitals. Contract negotiations stalled over salary, staffing, and, you know, you got to think about what do they do when that many are out. these were nonprofit hospitals, so they postponed non-emergency surgeries, diverted ambulances to other medical centers, had temporary staffers in, had administrators with nursing backgrounds to work in some of the wards, cope with the walkout, because, you know, you got people that are in beds, that what's happening there, who nurses are vital. And one of them was one of these hospitals, Mount Sinai Hospital in Manhattan, that 3,600 off the job. And then a medical center in the Bronx, 3,500 off the job because they're so frustrated with the lack of the right kind of deal and coming to the table and compromising. So they decided they had to strike because chronic understaffing especially leaves them caring for too many patients. And I think that's frightening because how much attention somebody has something, whatever's happening to them, they're on a breathing tube, they have just gotten out of surgery, you know, whatever it is, and they're overworked and they can't handle the amount of people that they have. It was described as, in some cases, somebody's doing a 12-hour operating room shift that stretches into 14 hours because they have to work overtime. There was a nurse practitioner that I saw interviewed that said she sometimes skips bathroom breaks to attend to patients. What? You can't even, they have no time to go to the bathroom? That's not good. So there has to be a safer, more humane way to do that, and they got to figure this thing out. I mean, they weren't psyched about the raises, but so much of it was the understaffing more than anything else. So they got to make it more attractive to hire more nurses. I mean, look, there's a global shortage of healthcare workers that's impacting hospitals across the country. And why do we have a global shortage? Think pandemic. Think of the burnout and also people realizing, I can't do this anymore. It doesn't matter. I can't work these kinds of shifts. It's crushing me. And what happens is because there's not enough people, it just gets dumped on who's ever there because what are they going to do? Somebody's got to fill those shoes, you know, and so who's filling those shoes? All right, coming up next, we have a couple of really great authors and storytellers for you talking about a couple of different things that I think you're going to find fascinating, including Marion Pilgrim, who's going to close out the show for us from the UK.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Buffalo Bills player Damar Hamlin is back in his home city. Doctors caring for Hamlin at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center said Hamlin returned to his home city and is starting the next phase of his recovery at Buffalo General Medical Center. On Sunday, Hamlin posted pictures and updates on social media as he watched the Bills' regular season finale against the New York Patriots. Hamlin collapsed on the field during the Bills' game against the Cincinnati Bengals last week after suffering cardiac arrest. Physicians said it'll still be too early to know if Hamlin will be able to play football again. They reiterated an update given last week that appears Hamlin is neurologically intact. Paramount Plus is releasing the teaser trailer for its upcoming series, Grease: Rise of the Pink Ladies. It takes place 4 years before the original Grease film. It follows four fed-up outcasts that want to have fun on their own terms and spark a moral debate that changes Rito High forever. I'm Julio Flores, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Water, a memoir about life with men. Dr. Jennifer Embry joins us now. Boy, she's led an interesting life, that's for sure. And I have to say this right at the top, that I think some of our listeners and I myself am jealous of this because you live in Bramford, Florida, and you've got boxers, turkeys, Indian runner ducks, which I never heard of, and I guess you're doing some kayaking and having a lot of fun. Is that pretty accurate?
Oh yeah, I love it up here. It's even though it's in Florida, it's like real rural and kind of in the woods. So it's a nice break from any city living.
Yeah, there you go. So you have time to write a book, and you write this book. Tell us about the journey of writing the book. What made you decide you were going to do this?
Well, I experienced this incredible. Experience that happened to me, and I worried I don't have any children or any family, and I'm worried if I don't tell my story, it's going to be lost forever. And I think it's just too important to just let it disappear.
So tell us about the story. What's the book about?
It's about how I received a new life, basically. And, growing up, I lived in a very chaotic, abusive family. And, the consequences were severe on me, where I experienced, drug abuse and alcoholism and promiscuity mainly was a big thing, and codependency. And after I had this life-shattering experience, my life was changed forever. And I just wanted to tell people about that.
Yeah, and in your book you talk about this. You talk about your father, you talk about his lifestyle, and you talk about eventually murder. So that had to be unbelievably traumatic.
It was like just getting punched over and over and over again. You'd wake up each day like, what terrible thing is going to happen today?
Right.
And it's really difficult.
So how do you recover from that? What did you do?
Well, I started thinking, this can't be normal. You know, people don't go around having their gay fathers murdered every day. And how can I just get through the day without such terrible anxiety? So I just started kind of exploring different options. And my second husband happened to be Jewish, and we were in graduate school together, and he said, I said, let's go out and do something. And he said, well, I can't date you because you're not Jewish. And I was like, well, that's interesting. So, so he kind of just left my house, and then he came back about an hour later, and he goes, I don't care what my parents say. I still want to date you. So we started going out, and I started learning about Judaism, and I fell in love with Judaism. I learned all. I converted to Judaism. I had a formal ceremony, and I just immersed myself into it. And because I wasn't completely healed yet, I ended up getting a divorce from my second husband, and so I was alone. I was single and dated a man from India who was Christian, and he was having trouble with his teenage son, so we decided to go to church. I started going to an Episcopal church and learning more about God on the other side. You know, in Judaism, we really focus on the Old Testament. The priest, obviously focused on the New Testament. And I kept saying I'm going to prove that God doesn't exist. So we would sit down every week and go through the Bible, and I would try and convince the Episcopal priest that God doesn't exist. And for some reason, I just couldn't do it. And I found amazing experience, amazing coincidences throughout the Bible that predicted what would happen to Jesus on the cross, and the book of Isaiah, which happened, 500 to 1,000 years before Jesus actually walked on the earth. So, so these were remarkable to me, and I decided I will give my life to Christ. I can't deny this didn't happen. But I was still felt guilty because I was Jewish, and I thought, all the Jews are going to be mad at me. God's going to be mad at me. So I decided to go ahead and take my first baptism, I was infant baptized, but water baptism and communion, and then things really went crazy from there.
Right, so that belief helped you, right?
It kind of pushed me on my way.
And in the book, what's so interesting is you talk about where we started, growing up in the 60s and 70s, and you're in an affluent suburb of Detroit and all the things, the chaos that happened, then your relationship with men. And in the book, you do a really clever thing. You write a letter to each one of them and then talk about, you know, how that brought you into this relationship with God that you're talking about now. What a clever thing. Was that cathartic to write those letters in the book?
Yes, and I wanted to also go kind of in reverse chronological order, like you're reflecting back on what happened. So I started it kind of in the present tense, and then each chapter, I kind of wrote each chapter as like a short story. I think it can kind of stand alone, and I thought that would be easy for readers. I've gotten critiques, though, that some people don't like the reverse chronological order. I kind of like it. It's kind of different, and it gives some perspective. But I feel like as we go back in time, it gets deeper and deeper into my tragedy, where I describe my dad's murder and all these kind of things.
Yeah. How old were you when that happened?
I was 27.
Oh. Wow.
My mom and dad, my dad was an attorney, a corporate attorney in Detroit, and they kind of got set up. Both of their parents were wealthy and belonged to the country club, and they got my parents got set up by their parents to go on a date and ended up getting married. But my dad told my mom that he was gay, and that was in the late 50s at the time, which was not acceptable. But they went to a counselor or marriage, counselor or whatever, psychologist, and they went to a couple sessions, and the counselor said, Phil, my dad was cured of his gayness, so it's okay to get married. So they got married, and initially, in my real young years, we lived in a nice house, and my mom was like a typical 60s wife, but there would be these terrible screaming matches, and it was terrible. And I know my mom found out, my dad was probably having an affair or whatever, a gay affair. So it made her just crazy. And then we moved out to the country in a big English Tudor style house, and we had horses and dogs, and being in Detroit in Michigan in the winter, we had pretty bad winters, and my mom just kind of abandoned us. We were left with dirty dishes in the sink and animal feces on the floor, and my dad wouldn't come home for days. I was 10 or 12. My brother was 10 years younger. My sister was 2 years younger. And we were left, the children were left with no food, no heat, filthy feces, and ultimately the horses starved to death.
Wow.
And my mom would tell me, it's time to, my dad would say, Jennifer, go out and feed the horses in the 9 o'clock at night on a winter night. And I'd go out there and there was no food to feed them. The grain was gone, no hay. So I remember just standing in the barn for 10 or 15 minutes, however long I thought it would take to feed them, so my parents would think I fed them and go back in. And I still have nightmares today of that.
Wow. And you came out on the other side, and we don't want to give everything away about the book, but it is such a journey. A Drink of Water, a memoir about my life with men. Dr. Jennifer Embry, thanks for sharing and coming on. You can get the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Thank you so much.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've been interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudiarco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
So pleased to be joined by Miriam Pilgrim from the UK here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. She's written a fascinating book, you know, and I realized when I was looking at her book how much I love eggs. And it all comes full circle when you hear her story. The name of her book, Have You Considered the Egg? So she grew up in Trinidad. She's a lifelong learner, and she's got this book, and she has another book that will eventually come out that's completely different from this one. But it's really fascinating to hear her story and her road to doing the book. Miriam, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much.
So what led to the importance of the egg in your life? What is it about the egg?
The importance that I found with the egg is that I was able to see myself not only cracking the egg, seeing what is coming out of the egg, but is using the egg. And it's to use the book in such a way that daily you can gain something that would be beneficial to your life to help you see others differently.
And so it's a great metaphor because the egg isn't just, okay, hey, in America, I'm sitting here making my breakfast. I just cracked the egg. I just opened the refrigerator. There's so many other uses for it. There's so many ways to prepare an egg. There really is a lot about eggs, which is what I love about how you weave this story. Have you considered the egg? In the book, you have various chapters. You talk about heaven. You talk about road. You talk about spirit. You talk about trust. Tell the listeners what the book is about.
The book is really about seeing the egg, which is you yourself, using an egg for a purpose. And your purpose in life is to fulfill whatever that egg you're going to use it to do. You want a scrambled egg? It's up to you. You want to boil the egg? It's up to you. Do you know you can poach the egg? You can even hard boil an egg. It's the purpose that you have to gain in life. That's why I consider the egg.
Wow. I love the way you talk about the egg and the significance in your life, which is what I was talking about in the beginning. You and I talked off the air, and you told me about what did you used to do when you were a kid? What did you used to do with eggs?
Yes, when I was, well, I used to listen for the hen to cackle, and I knew it had laid an egg, and I would just dive, leave everyone, and just go for the egg. Because it's warm and it's nice and it's just being laid. And I would just take it up, take it and punch one little hole and suck the egg. When I'm finished, I would gather the egg, it's the eggshell, all the eggshells. And then you put a straw inside of that egg where the hole was and make sure you seal it. Dip it in the paint, many different color paints, and that would be a bouquet for my mom.
Wow.
even though she would say, how come you alone finding the eggs?
Because you were smart. And on the cover of your book, you have pretty different colored eggs, and that symbolizes that, right?
Yeah, that symbolizes the different colors. And not only is it a physical, spiritual, psychological, anyhow you look at it, you can use it, benefit from an egg.
How important, and I was starting to ask you this, how important is trust? Because that's one of the things you talk about in the book.
Yes, you have to learn to trust others, just as I trusted you to come on Zoom to talk to me, so you trust others to prepare the groundwork. We cannot do things on our own by ourselves. We have to have others doing the part that we assume we can, but we cannot. So we need that trust, not only in others, but in the Creator. And that's where my perspective came in, that if I trust and look up and I see the cloud, I will know that it's going to rain.
Wow.
If I see the sun, I know it's going to be a sunny day.
Yep.
Because I have that trust in there has to be somebody that is creative better than I am.
And you also talk about acceptance. And tell us about acceptance, because I think humans really struggle with this.
Yes, I noticed that. I accepted the egg, not because of the color of the egg. I accepted the egg because it's an egg. People accept others because of maybe the outward shape of the egg, maybe the color of the egg, maybe what they can do with the egg. But the egg itself, if you don't accept others just as they are, because now you can find many different kind of eggs, small ones, tall ones, long ones, ostrich, eggs will be found anywhere. And we have to accept it. Whether we want to eat it or not, we have to accept. If you squeeze it too hard, it will crack. If you throw it, it will smash. So we have to learn how to accept that an egg is fragile. Mm-hmm. And we all are fragile. We are here today and gone tomorrow.
Yeah, life is fragile, definitely. And, you know, in summary, in looking at the book, what do you hope people take away from reading Have you considered the egg?
I would like everyone to see what use an egg is for. How they and an egg can be alike. Just as the egg is useful, we are useful in doing whatever we are called to do. And therefore, when we come up against situations that maybe we don't like, we have to learn to adjust, take the egg and make eggnog.
That's brilliant. Take the egg and make eggnog. Have you considered the egg? You can get on Miriam's book. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. And I know, and I want to give a little tiny preview because it's not out yet, but you like writing. I said you were a lifelong learner, and you have another book that you're writing about Jane Austen and manners. Tell me about that.
In the past, well, Jane Austen is well known, and in the past, her book was related to how people behave with one another, humans against humans, and how we interacted. And I saw the manners is all she spoke about. The different manners, the type of manners, the manners, the clothing manners, the deportment of people. And I said, manners? Let me see if I could consider some manners in this too. But the technology, manners is where I'm walking the street and I'm seeing people with walking into you with their iPhones and their technologies without even saying hello or watching where they are going. So I said, oh, yes, this is manners.
Yeah, so there's lessons to be learned there, I'm sure. And I think all of us can relate to that. That's the frustration with technology. There's the good part about technology, and then there's the part you just mentioned where you go to a restaurant or you walk down the street and nobody's paying attention.
No one is paying attention. How do we get around that? Just read Jane Austen books.
Exactly, and it's what you did. So you know, and you're going to pass that on to us. Absolutely delight to have you on, Miriam Pilgrim. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Delaney.
And thank all of you for listening to this interview and this version of the show. It's 2023. Make it count, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.